The idea here is just to fit in, to accept the definitions that the culture gives, to accept what the definitions of right or wrong are, defined by the culture, not by the church. Now, the thought here is that a Christian could be so burned out that they just give in to what the culture teaches. You know, there's churches that have accepted that. Let's just fit in. Let's just be what the culture is. You may have that tug on your heart. A second approach that Niebuhr mentions is that sometimes our response to this tension between being a Christian and living in culture is actually to attack the culture, to be a political activist, or join some social group to change the culture. The idea here is that we can become so passionate that we try to change the culture around us. The idea here is that we can maybe bring heaven ourselves onto earth. There are a lot of churches that bought into that too. That's a mistake. The third approach to this tension between culture and church is to just withdraw and give up. In the last 10 years, and I'll say this in the Missouri Synod, a lot of churches are choosing that. And what they're saying is that the culture is so corrupt and so off base that it's best for churches to just build a moat and just hide away and be a safe little refuge and not have anything to do with culture. What I'd like to suggest is every week you may go between each of those options. One week you might have the temptation to just fit in. Another week there might be the temptation to fight it and try to fiercely battle it. Another temptation, another week, might be to just withdraw and have nothing to do with it. I don't think that's the approach Jesus would want us to take, any of them. When a runner runs their race, there is that moment of crisis and fear that sets in just for a brief moment. But if they can be steadfast and hold on, momentum can come and they can finish really strong. I don't know if you've experienced this, but when I've run and been in a race, what's helped me is not people on the sidelines cheering me on. I don't know, that doesn't get me going. They're looking at my face and it looks all disfigured. Don't cheer me on. What doesn't help me also is not like I'm not going to get an extra boost of energy from like all my weightlifting. There's just not a lot of weightlifting that's happened, and so it's not. I can't bank on like physical strength just kicking in. Here's the thing that helps, and this is Jesus. This is what he's saying here. If you have a visualization of the end of the race, isn't that motivating? A picture of you while you're running, of the joy of crossing the finish line, the beauty of being around friends at the finish line, the reward at the end, a t-shirt, a certificate, an ice cream cone, whatever it is. If you can hold on to that visual as you're going through the suffering and pain in that brief moment, boy, that can get you through. Jesus says, here's my picture for you. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's the picture. So we don't worry about getting caught off on fighting the culture. We don't get off on having nothing to do with the culture or fitting in so that we're cool with everyone else. No, we have the picture of what Jesus gives us. Having that picture reminds us that the only thing that matters is what he thinks of how we've won the race. The only person that can give the prize is Jesus. He's the only one that can give you a crown. Sometimes I wonder, we're oftentimes concerned about what people are going to say about us at the end of our lives. What will someone say at my funeral? How many people will show up at my funeral? What if no one shows up at your funeral? Could you still run a good race? Stories told about a missionary that went overseas, served quite a number of years, and then took a ship to come back to the United States. This is a true story. Came back on the ship, then got on the train to go back to his hometown. And when he was on the train, a fellow traveler sitting next to him said, when you got off the boat from your time across the sea, how many people were there to greet you? Was there a band? Did your family show up? And the missionary said, no one was there. The traveler said, sir, you've wasted your time as a missionary. They kept traveling, and they got to the missionary's hometown in which he'd be dropped off, and the traveler also was he was an unbeliever, he was an atheist. They stopped at the train depot, they got off, and again, there was no one there to greet the missionary. No friends, no family, no one to give a great hoopla greeting about all his hard work. And the traveler that was there repeated the phrase, sir, it looks like you've wasted your time as a missionary. True story, that missionary, when he got off, heard a voice in his heart that said this. You've not made it home yet. When you do, you will receive the crown of life. That missionary had a clear picture of what the end of the race looks like. That missionary had a clear picture of who it matters, what their opinion matters of how we've finished the race. May we each hold on to that, that picture of what the race looks like, but also it's what Jesus thinks about how we've finished the race. Jesus gives us the crown of life. Amen. We're going to now continue with more prayer that's sung. And this sung prayer is the Annunciation. Molly's going to lead us in that. I invite you to rise as you are able as we share this prayer together.